astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Hello, baby.
Hello, baby.
Hello.
Hello again. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, friend.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, home.
Hi.
Yo.
G'day.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Hackers Without Borders, the greatest podcast on the planet.
Guys, tune in. Great show. It's not just about football.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Remember, I think I shared with you our phrase that we used to use, play like you breathe.
Yeah.
That's how you have to play football in the NFL, or your ass is going to get beat, okay?
Yeah.
And so you play like you breathe. So if we're getting out there, and that play like you breathe philosophy, by the way, is exactly why this coach is here. This is exactly why Hapley is here. This philosophy, this defense that I'm about to share with y'all is about all of them damn first round draft picks that they got on defense who got those high RAS scores.
Yeah.
It's time to remove all that processing.
Yeah.
It's time to remove all that. We need y'all playing. We need you who you are a better athlete than that guy over there.
Yeah.
So now we need you to be a better football player than that guy over there. And thus far, if you're playing in that 4-3, in the 3-4 that we were in.
Yeah.
Okay. The problem that exists with a super athlete is the scheme alone, just the scheme alone, adds 1/1,000.
Yeah, that's too much.
Just the scheme.
Yeah.
Just the scheme. You have already, with the scheme, said 1/1,000. Why?
Now, wait. I want you to repeat that because for 2 years, I've been saying the exact same thing. And on on the Twitterverse, people are like, "You're being ridiculous." And I'm like, in the NFL, a 1/1,000 is the difference between wide open and a little bit open.
Right. And you have added that.
Yeah.
Scheme alone. Why is that? Okay. You're running a 3-4. That means, based upon flow, you're reading which gap is yours. In a 4-3, you have a gap.
Yeah, one.
One.
And that's it. That's the one you hit.
That's your responsibility.
Yes.
You have one gap. You're not reading.
Listen, I'm adopting you. I know you're a little bit older than me. I'm adopting you. You are singing. I'm teary-eyed. I am teary-eyed right now because this is what I've been saying for 2 years. That 1/1,000th of a sec, just that tiny step. It's like when they put AJ Dillon in shotgun and they hand the ball off. I'm saying that's too much time for the linebackers to be able to read that.
Look, let me tell you, the greatest, I guess, comp for a layman NFL fan to what's happening, the 1/1,000 you added, are these coaches that keep running sneaks from shotgun.
Yo.
You're like, are you kidding me? It's first and goal from the one.
Yeah. Why go back 5 yards?
Not even the one. Like, it could be first and goal from the 3-inch line. they have their quarterback in shotgun.
5 yards back? Why are we moving back? Forward. This way.
It's like, what are we doing here? Like, literally, yeah. it's the most nonsensical thing that we've watched over and over and over again.
Amen.
So now let's go ahead and we're gonna start. Look,
let's start with Jeff Hafley. Okay. Is this a hire that you're excited about? Are you in the middle of the road? Are you what's your opinion, Jeff Hafley?
Okay, obviously, you know, initially, you were talking about blindsided.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at all the usual suspects. I mean, that's who I was researching.
Yeah.
So from the standpoint of expectation, and I think I shared that in my first post from it. I was like, talk about a, you know,
adolescent. Who's this guy? Who is this guy?
He, right?
Yeah.
Now, and that's what I'm telling you, bro. You would think we did a pre-production meeting,
right? Here
because of the question you just said. So look, I'm about to read you. Now this is my defense.
Yeah.
That I coach and believe in. And when I was a coach in the NFL, so when we get with our players and we sit down, I was at this time I was with the New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
So you're sitting with our players. By the way, just so you understand, this is what I believe. And what I'm telling you, I have already heard Jeff Hafley. This is Jeff Hafley. I'm about to read you me, but it's what we're about to get.
Okay.
Our base defense is the 4-3. The philosophy is to stop the run. We must be great in one down defense in order to complement our trademark of being a fast, aggressive, great tackling team, putting the offense in tough second and third down situations. We always want to defend the middle of the field first.
Oh, hallelujah.
We want to force the ball wide so we can use quickness and speed to run it down. We must be physically strong at the line of scrimmage. One gap.
That's it.
They're going to have to make a decision quickly.
Yeah.
Quickly. They won't be up on us and we're on our heels and we need that 360-pound guy to even have our linebackers be able to float.
Yeah.
Literally, we could have Clark and Wyatt on the field at the same time. And Wyatt could be the 3 technique and Clark could be the nose or the 1 technique. And they would be just fine because they're both penetrating. It's just they're penetrating from different areas depending upon which gap is their responsibility. Now, our defense must perform great in the red zone on the goal line. We will not allow opponents to run the ball into our end zone. We must prevent touchdowns and force offenses to attempt field goals. We must concentrate and be proficient in several key situations. Third down and short to medium. Fourth down. Any fourth down. Because what does that mean? They got to get it or they're off the field.
Yeah.
You can't sit back 8 yards off of the team and they are fourth and four.
Yeah. Right? Third and two and we're in an 8 yard soft zone.
Come on. You can't do that. And listen to this. 2 minute conserving time. Protecting a lead.
Yeah.
When the opponent is backed up, if they attempt to take a shot, and no huddle. Now, before I finish the how it closes, I want you to think of all of that middle part I just read this way. We're gonna make them work to get down the field. Could we get beat by a big play? We actually could get beat by a big play.
Yeah.
But we got a true center fielder. We don't have two kind of strong safeties that neither one of them should be back there. We have a true center fielder. So we got 10 people making you work your ass off. And more than likely, if they make a mistake, we have a guy who's an eraser in the middle of the field and deep, who you got to beat him. And that guy is normally going to win. A la Mika Fitzpatrick, a la Jesse Bates, a la Winfrey Jr. Not Winfrey. What's his
name? Yeah, Antoine Winfield Jr.
A la Harrison with Minnesota. Those guys. And what's funny is people think it's about some extreme level of athleticism with that guy. No, actually it can be, but that's the guy who actually is your processor. That's your guy that the quarterback and he are playing chess. And our guy won't lose. If you got the right guy in that position right there, then you can play the rest of your defense the way we're supposed to. Like, I hate to say it because he's with an enemy, but do you think you would have worried about having Harrison Smith, I think is the name, right?
Yeah.
You would worry if we had him back there to go aggressive in front of him?
No, like Nick Collins, right? Like Nick Collins. Nick Collins was that center fielder back there, man. He just waited for that. Well, you're going to have to chuck a bomb. Yep. Because everybody else has got you pressed up.
We're gonna make this process,
yeah,
of you matriculating the ball down the field hard. You're not getting just these 6 yard run, 8 yard run, 10 yard pass, and it's like, okay, now you're gonna tighten up, which is what our defense was. Yeah, we started to tighten up after they have just kind of roll down the field.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Well, why are we giving up so big of chunks and making it so hard on ourselves? Because what happens to those types of defenses? Well, by the time you get to the late third, early
fourth, gassed.
They're worn out. Man, did you all see poor Preston Smith in that in that game against the 49ers?
We talked about Eric and I talked about this the other day. You know, when they're running 8, 9, 10, 12 plays, we're on the field for 9 minutes. And then the offense, who's been sitting there ice cold, goes out there. Unfortunately, LaFleur decides he wants to do 3 quick passes. We go 3 and out. The defense hasn't even had a sip of water yet. And they're dragged right back out there. And we see it. We know it. We're sitting there going, we're in trouble.
That to me. And the reason I point him out is because he has had such, like, that second half of the season, Preston was, he was balling. And so to have that be on film for him at the end of this season was unfair to me. To me, that was unfair to him because that wasn't on him, but it looked like it.
Yeah.
Right. You remember the play where they did the TE twist and here comes Brock around, down to like the 5 yard line, 5 or 4 yard line, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of say, there we go, right?
You know, and people were quick on that. They were like, oh, Smith is washed. And it's like, Smith has been out there for the last 11 minutes running as hard as he possibly can. And they're not just sending, you know, an Uber Eats driver out there to block him. They're hitting them with Kittle. They're hitting them with Williams. They're hitting them with, you know, CMC is back there. And they're punching. Man, body blows. Just like, you know, that boxer, that Ali in there with Frazier. Ali knows I keep hitting those ribs. We get to 10, 11, 12. And, you know, Frazier's not going to be able to lift his hands anymore. And that's exactly what they did to us. And this is why it drives me absolutely insane. I don't want to see a defense that gives up 4 yards every play. I want to see a defense that, you know what, maybe we got beat once on a 50-yarder, but our defense was only out there for 15 minutes of the game.
And the thing is with it, okay, let's say we buy that philosophy, right, that we were using. Because quite frankly, we were winning the game, right? Right up until that last.
Winning erases all doubts. Right?
So if we buy that philosophy we were using, okay, that works right up until they got the ball back and it was a 4 minute situation.
Yeah.
Right? So they have the ball back. A touchdown beats us. Right? A field goal does nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So then touchdown beats us, field goal does nothing. Our offense has actually been pretty damn good as well in terms of moving. So that means both defenses really are the ones on their heels. It's not so much the offense at this stage of the game. Okay. So situational awareness here. All right, coach. We either need to make them be quickly out, mean three and out, or one in first down, then out, or whatever. However you look at it, they have got to get off of the damn field. Or they need to quickly score. So it needs to be one of those two. So we either need to pressure. This is where we need to be aggressive. We have to be super aggressive, meaning this defense, okay? The one coming. We need to be one gapping, pressing with our corners, funneling, like, and if they beat us, it needs to be quickly.
Yeah.
So we have time.
Exactly.
But if we literally keep our exact same formula, And they methodically drive down the field, then if we do have time, we're stressed. We're actually in a stress situation that makes things happen that wouldn't normally happen. And you think you got to make the play that you really should have thrown the ball over. I mean, that's what produces that. Because now you got to be a hero. You got it has to happen because we don't have much time. And you know, defensive philosophy has to mirror the athletes you have. And the NFL is one of the few places where you truly, because the talent pool at the college level, where you got 78,000 legitimate people playing, the talent pool is thinner. Like, I found a great pass rusher right here, but a guy over here is not a Sunday guy, but he's serviceable. Like, it's different. Plus, you got to convince the guy to come.
Yeah.
The NFL, you literally get to select who you want for what you want to do. And the Packers have chosen a philosophy of high-level athletes. Now, with high-level athletes, if you turn them into processors, then you take away the purpose for getting high-level athletes. You might as well have got 11 Harrison Smiths.
Yeah.
Good athlete.
Yeah.
Who process and they're instinctual in a manner that they're not going to get you beat off of it, slowing them down to the degree that, like, look, I've watched Quay Walker play at my high school's rival high school. I think I shared this with you, Matt.
Yeah.
He played. So I've watched him since he was like a kid. When people say, you know, kid, like I literally watched him from when he was a kid, you know? he is an athlete who you need to let athlete. Like, that's the best way I can put it for you. He's an athlete. You need to have athlete. Now, why did he get drafted by Green Bay? Well, he played Sam at Georgia.
Yeah.
Because the Mike was actually the young man who's in Philadelphia. So Quay was Sam. Quay was close to the line of scrimmage, and Quay was a better athlete than the other two linebackers. And so Quay was coming this way.
All day.
He was coming this way. And it's like, okay, well, why y'all got him sitting back there processing and trying to pick up coverages and like and playing zone? And look, I've also shared how a natural processor and instinctual guy looks, because that's how Trey has been able to make it to professional football, because unfortunately he doesn't possess the same level of athleticism that I and Christian have. But he's a good athlete. But the way he was able to become an All-American in college and at Big Ten school and make it is up here, right? No different than Brock Purdy that people get mad about when you tell him what primarily makes him what he is. It's up here. It's above the shoulders. And so the same plays like that we can see over and over again, different athletes process them differently. So you put a guy who's a downhill guy like Quay back there, and he's sitting in the middle of the field with a route that most of us have seen 1,000 times, right? And you have a tight end who runs a out. You have a guy who may run the 7, right?
Yeah.
Now, the wide receiver who was over there, he started coming this way. He disappeared somewhere.
Yeah.
Guess what the processors who understand route concepts do? They immediately turn.
Yeah.
They know what he's doing.
Yeah.
They look and they run.
They look away from the ball. They look away from the ball.
they literally run there, and they're there before he gets there. And a quarterback is either not going to throw it or he's going to throw it to them. Like, that happens all the time. And people wonder, they're like, how did he? They understand route concepts. And look, that's not natural for some guys. And it's like, we watched the whole 2 seasons of y'all keep doing that to Quay. And everybody's sitting and watching it like, why is the middle field so open? And
you know, the middle of the field has been notoriously open in Green Bay since about 2011. Apparently we can't cover a tight end. I believe that's mostly scheme. I believe that there's a lot of quote-unquote audibles. And you and I both know, when you sit down and you create your own defense, you create your own scheme, you create your audibles. You create your, okay, listen, if the tight end takes 3 steps to the right, I want this linebacker to do this, or I want this safety to do this, or whatever the audibles that you put in are. We tend to, and we've seen it with Capers, we've seen it with Pettit, and we've seen it with Barry, we see these audibles where all of a sudden we've got Campbell on Justin Jefferson, or we've got Quay all of a sudden drawing CeeDee Lamb. And it's like, there should never be an option in the book.
Or we have Preston on Devontae.
Yeah. Right. And you can even see Preston lined up and just laughed. He just laughed, and Adams is laughing too, because Preston's like, I can't come. This is the most dangerous man in the world.
I shouldn't say if, because we saw it now enough times, right? So when that ever happens, then you as a football coach need to go and say this right here.
Time out.
Right here is not going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally, you might as well give up that play. Like, we either need to call timeout
Yeah.
Change it. Now, let me tell you something. The other thing is, which I guess tells me that we just didn't have Harrison Smith, is I've never been on a team where we would allow that to even happen. So yeah. in other words, even if that was the responsibility, we already had authority to check out of that. We're not going to let Preston be on Devontae Adams. It's not going to happen. We're going to tell the whole defense, check.
Yeah.
Go eight. That's just dumb.
You know, and people were constantly, well, what's the answer, Matt? And I'm like, you know, on the defenses I played, when that guy shifted in like that and the linebacker all of a sudden drew that coverage, the linebacker put his hand up and I was yelling, got it. And I came from center field up and the linebacker suddenly started to drift back because we would prefer to have a linebacker playing center field and a fast guy safety on their fast guy compared to, you know, the safety out here in center field watching two deep routes and a linebacker who can run a 4.6 against, you know, some guy running 4.3.
We had a little more flexibility, I guess you would say, because we called the defense, and I'm referring to when I was in Philly, the safeties, the strong safeties to be in particular, called the defense. So
yeah,
we
yeah.
sat in on the defensive meetings where they're putting together a game plan, you know, with the D coordinator and everything. So we knew the checks. We'd already gotten them, right? So if a situation, for instance, it would depend on where it happened on the field. In that Raiders game, right, where that happened, we would have moved two people. We would have more likely sent Dawkins up. You remember Brian Dawkins?
Yeah.
How can you forget?
We would more likely send Brian Dawkins where Preston was.
Yeah.
Preston would have came back where our inside linebacker was, and the inside linebacker would have dropped back.
Exactly.
Because the thing is, we, like, where is the most danger?
Yeah.
Right? We got coverage guys on everybody else. But on their best guy.
Yeah.
On their best guy, we can't have a lineman, basically. You know?
Yeah. That's exactly it. Why are we putting a semi truck is trying to cover a Ferrari? It's just not going to happen.
Right.
Got the torque, though. Got the torque. I have a question for you, though. Who do you see? Is there anybody on this roster right now that can play that deep safety? I mean, there's been so much discussion about where Darnell Savage fits in the future, if he's going to get resigned, any of the existing safeties that
Even
we have
Owens.
Right now. Is this something that we need a complete overhaul? We got to look in the draft to find that center fielder? Or is
We don't have a center. I mean, okay. It's real simple. I mean, and I'm telling you, based upon the only center fielder we have who has shown center fielder type play was on the practice squad for most of the year. And then he played special teams at the end of the year. That's Benny Sapp. That's the only one we have. So obviously that's not somebody that we would think is going to be given that.
He's a free agent this year too. So, right.
but we need somebody who literally, we're talking about first, second round or a veteran who we know can do it. Like, so we don't have that guy. We don't have him. You know, I have a pretty long history with Savage's career. And unfortunately, everything I've seen in Green Bay has not reflected.
Yeah.
What I saw before. The biggest issue with me initially, I mean, you know, people, sometimes guys just don't translate, right? And you just say to me, he just can't play. And I was almost kind of getting there, except they keep putting him in a position to fail from what he does well. So it's hard for me to say that's the player. You know what I'm saying? You're exactly right. Because I literally saw what he did well. Like, I saw it over and over. I'm like, if he's not, he's very similar in terms of when I shared about Quake. If Darnell Savage is not the strong safety or the slot, meaning he get closer in the box, his movement's this way. And if he's covering somebody, he picks them up quickly. If you put Darnell back, he doesn't have the same feel. He has the speed, but that doesn't matter. If you don't have free safety feel, like by the time, I'm going to give you an example of a gap. By the end of Ronnie Lott's career, guess what Ronnie Lott ran the 40 in?
Probably like 4.6.
4.7.
4.8.
4.8.
And you know how I know? Because we signed him when I was in Kansas City. We signed him and he came and he every spring, this is something that'll really blow your mind. Every spring, Marty Schottenheimer did the NFL combine.
For
the Chiefs.
The
entire Chiefs rock. We had Joe Montana, who at that point was what, like 16 years in or something?
Yeah.
Joe pulled a damn hamstring.
The best podcast in the world.
It's the greatest podcast in English.
The cream of the crop.
They're really, really good.
Better than the best!
The best of the best.
Better than the best!
Putting on a good show.
The best Packer podcast on the net.
The finest podcast in all the land.
The cream of the crop.
Guys, tune in. Great show.
Better than the best!
On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. Nobody does it better.
Yo, 1, 2, 3, check it out. This is your boy Stingray, First Kings Entertainment. I want to give a shout out to my guy, Matt, my Packer brother. You know, even though I'm a Bears fan, I support Packers Without Borders and Matt all the way. You know what I'm saying? See you at the game.
It's time for Matt's Motivational Meaningful Moment.
Goldilocks is a story about a girl who committed a Class 1 felony. Be smart, kids.
This has been Matt's Motivational Meaningful Moment.
This is Umar from Northern Virginia, born in Green Bay, and here on Pack Without Borders. Have a great time.
Look, Marty had him running a 40. Doing the short shuttle, Bert, like every spring we did the full combine. It was the craziest thing to watch superstars. I'm talking about Marcus Allen. Which, by the way, Marcus could still run. Like he was 30 something. That joke was he was still rolling. Like, I mean, not super fast, but I mean he was 4 or 5.
Yeah.
4 or 5. I mean, he played a while. By that time. But you look at Ronnie Lott, he was still able to play in the National Football League at safety, running a 4.8. Why? Because of process.
He knew where to be.
He knew concepts, he knew angles, he knew all the tricks of the trade, like where you grab, not get caught. So it's more than athleticism that allows you to be successful in particular schemes. And if your best trait is athleticism, then don't take it away by increased processing. And so to me, because of how bad the last 2 years have gone for Savage, I believe that whoever he signs with is going to be a discount.
Tazeem, you say something that resounds with myself, and it resounds with one of our most passionate listeners, Chris Goose, and him and I, we have a friendly bet, and that friendly bet is if Darnell Savage is on the Packers, he re-signs with the Packers, he's on the Packers roster, come spring training camp, I have to make a donation, $100 to his favorite charity. I think Darnell goes somewhere else to be utilized somewhere else. I actually think he's going to have a bit of a resurgence because he'll be used properly by that team that gets him, because they're going to go, this is what he can do well, this is what we need him to do. So when you say whoever he signs with, you are saying you don't think he comes back. I don't think he comes back.
I would like, because it's going to be a discount.
Yeah.
I would like Green Bay to receive the discount.
Sure.
Yeah.
And because it doesn't cost much. Yeah. And since we have so much capital, meaning draft capital, invested, and money, because they took the option last year, and I think he made like $7 million. You know, it wasn't a little bit. It wasn't just a little. You know. So we have some investment there, and I think because it's going to be a discounted rate, then we might as well be the ones to get to see it, because of what I know. Because I'm gonna tell you, I can't imagine that if he does sign elsewhere, and he very well might, because he might be tired of what has occurred in Green Bay and wants and basically wants to say, I told you, right? I mean, it is what it is, which obviously means then I think we go vet and rookie. There are a couple of rookies I'm really excited about that even if we went rookie inside, I would take it. If we get Cam Kitchens and DeJean, shit, you don't have to give me a vet. You can just put them in there for me. But again, I mean, I think a team that's kind of where we are, meaning ready now, you might, whether it's keeping one of your own or getting another one, you probably want to have at least one vet inside. Yeah. And because that position up top is so important, it may be him. If I don't see a vet that I would take over Cam Kitchens. I mean, that dude looks like Sean Taylor to me. He's just a little bit smaller.
I don't see him, though, getting that far in the draft, unfortunately. I think he'll...
25?
I think he's gone between 12 and 18. There's a handful of teams that could really use him in there. And, you know, typically when it comes to, you know, us Packer fans, we go, this is the guy we want. Oh, yeah, no, he's definitely going to... And, man, they snap that guy up immediately. It's almost like the Bears go, who do the Packers want? Oh, they want Kitchen. Well, we'll take Kitchen. It's like, you don't need the guy, but we're going to take him because it screws with you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Goot alluded to, and this is kind of one of the first times he's alluded to, saying, you know, we've got a lot of draft picks. Maybe we trade those picks for a veteran player. There's a handful of players out there, Antoine Winfield Jr., like you had mentioned before. These guys are out there. There's also the linebacker Queen from Baltimore. There's a handful, you know, of guys that are going to be available. My problem is if we wait until after the draft, half of these guys aren't going to be there.
We're not going to. No. I think that the decision of how they're going to structure it has to be made before, like now. Like it has to be made before the draft. I mean, we're not. If we wait and look at the free agent market after the draft, then we have said something totally different than what this team is ready to do. Because the way that they should be structuring what we're ready to do is these decisions should be being made right now. Like, do we trade? Do we go ahead and package some of these picks and trade and get our guy who's going to be the center fielder? You know, to me, that is, I was a little hesitant to say it because I don't know that we can count on having the mic either with Campbell, you know, because he's been hurt, you know, the last 2 years. He hadn't done what he did a couple of years ago again. So I don't know that we have the mic either.
But his ankle, I mean, we've obviously got to get somebody to partner with Quay because Campbell isn't the long-term answer. We need somebody so that Quay could just run downhill and then that other linebacker can do the coverage, do the...
And that's why, the reason I brought that up is because you also mentioned Queen, right?
Yeah. So,
you know, hey, I mean, so Mike, one of those two, I think we gotta get it. We gotta spend the money. We gotta get either that Mike or that center fielder, I think, in free agency, one of them.
Or at least
one of them.
Yeah.
And that decision has to be made as soon as when does the period open?
Two, March. 3 weeks. Is it three? The end of this month, isn't it?
About the beginning of March.
March 1st, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think we'll know. Like, I mean, they should get on. Now, looking at this scheme and the way that I'll really open with what we're going to, as opposed to what we were, is to just take the next step from what I said before. So we've taken away the 1001.
Yeah.
That's if you're describing it to anybody, I think that's where it starts. What's the difference between the two guys? What we're taking away? The 1001 to even start a play.
Yeah.
Now, the second piece, if you're, and I don't like to say shell because quite frankly, even people who play single high will run a two shell. So it's not so much about the shell. It's what are you trying to get to? So in this single high, if you go under with your under front, so with the under, you're talking about where that nose and where that tackle is, and which side is the Sam going to be on, and which side is the Will going to be on. And it's primarily based upon, people will use what we've always, in coaching, when we're talking to players, we tell them, you can tell if somebody really is a football person on how they use the term strength.
Yeah.
People will say, we're going to line the nose up away from the strong side of the ball and under. Like, strong side of the offense and under.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Do you mean the closed side? So understand that there's some different words that people will use. There is a strong side of an offense. Strength. The strength of an offense in the NFL is talking about passing. It is not talking about where the tight end is, okay? Or where the solid or closed side is. So there are two different things that have to be determined at the pre-snap. Normally it'll be the mic calling it, or like in some cases, if it's the safety who calls it because they can see everything, then it'll be the safety. Or they'll split the responsibilities, which some teams will do, where one of them, meaning the mic, might call the solid side, and then the safety will call the strength. Okay? So, with that being said, in a 4-3 under front, then the nose is going to be away from the solid side, not the strong side. He's going to be away from the solid side. And then the 3-tech is going to be to the solid side. You're going to have a 5 and a 7 for the end. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, the Sam is going to be dependent upon what you choose as your coverage. But the way that I always tell people, you can tell if they're an over or under, is we used to always tell the Sam, hey, Sam is, you get over there. So an over, the Sam is going to be on the closed side in over because you get over there. You get over there. And the nose is going to be
on the closed side and over. Hey, get your big ass over there. And like literally, that's how we would tell them. We go up there, man. Get over. So you kind of have so why then? Why are you doing it? Why are you doing what? Right? Understand that defenses and all sound defenses anyway, have an answer for everything. So there are responsibilities based upon areas of the field. And you kind of work your way outside in. There's a force guy. There's a contain guy.
Yeah.
There's a inside field guy. There's a secondary field guy. And you, meaning you, anybody who has a gap is a field person, right? Then you keep on going. There's a contain guy. And then there's a force guy. Well, every play, right? So if somebody gets outside, then two people will have to fuck up.
Yeah.
The contain guy and the force guy will both have to have fucked up in order for somebody to get outside on a run play. On a pass play, only one guy has to fuck up because the force guy is gone.
Yeah.
Right? He's either going to be covering somebody in man or he will be late coming down in zone because he has coverage up the field, and everything up the field is deep to short. It doesn't matter if they have the flats, the curl, the hook. It does not matter. Everything is played from top to bottom if you're talking about zone. This defense plays it in a manner that everything works from press initially. They want to disrupt releases. No free releases. It doesn't matter if it's zone, man, no free releases.
Deny the vertical release. That's right. All they used to tell us when we were in DB coaching camps was deny the vertical release.
Think about it this way. Take our team, right? And let our team go in a real game where you have to tackle against our defense last year. And put Christian, put Bo, put Jaden all on the field at the same time. And then put one of our route guys. So either Wicks or Dobbs.
Yeah.
Underneath. How you gonna cover them? If you can 8 yards off at the very beginning of the play. How's it gonna happen? Like literally by the time you turn and run to hopefully keep shit from getting hot up top, then what's happened? Underneath, we actually saw it to Dallas. Yeah, yeah. We saw it to Dallas.
That's all we did to Dallas was Christian was like, take off. And as soon as he took off, it opened the entire middle of the field and Dobbs stood there all alone all day.
You're literally wide up. Like our route guy is wide open.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't cover him anyway. Like, literally, if he was going to get a chance to do his whole route before the ball was out, you can't cover him anyway. And now we've taken your secondary guy. He's trying to run underneath our deep guy. So how silly is it to run a defense in the National Football League over and over and over again? I'm not saying there aren't situations for it, but if every time they come up, they know they literally could get five every play.
Yeah.
They literally just run hitches all the way down the field. And you just got to hope they make a mistake.
3.4 yards on every play is a win.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, that to me, that just didn't make any sense. But so in the schematics of it, in the base, the base of what it looks like we may see if you go back to not necessarily what Boston College was doing, but where the type of athlete was
when he was doing it that would be similar to an NFL athlete, which is Ohio State.
Yeah.
Right. So if you look at when those athletes were doing it, and then you were going against 11 personnel, you know, so it wasn't a whole lot of 21, 22. It was going to be at least three wide receivers out there all the time. So in those cases, the base probably always has the will substituted anyway. And the reason I say the will, it's not really a position. It's a person. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's whoever the third linebacker is who's coming out. It doesn't matter if that's the Will or the Sam. It normally wouldn't be the Mike. With Ohio State, it was the Mike because Borland couldn't run. So when it was a true pass play, then Tough Borland went out and they kept the two athletes in there. So you talking about Warner and what's that, Harrison? I think I forgot what the other guy's name was, but they were both like, you know, really, you know, athletic guys. So when you look at probably what base would look like more with us, then one of those linebackers is going to be replaced by nickel.
We're probably going to be in nickel most of the time.
That's what I'm saying. That's
right?
Going to probably be our base instead of the true 4-3 linebackers. It'll be 4-2. You know, it's not going to be 4-3. It'll be 4-2-5.
So when we talk about that front four now, and I just want to touch for a second about how LaFleur talked about how Gary and Preston in certain situations suddenly became down linemen. And it's like, no, that's not what we're talking about. Down linemen are the big fat, the elephants on parade. Get the big fat boys up front. They control all the gaps. Everything's got to be run to the outside where we can match the speed. Where does, I mean, Van Ness will fit in on an end. No problem. Right? Mm-hmm. Preston Smith, yes, he'll fit in on an end. Where does Gary fit?
Well, Gary's almost 280 pounds. I mean, we're not talking about a small. He just has a different athletic build. But
so we're not going to see a difference then, is what you're saying? Because we'll
Clark, what's
we'll
gonna
have
happen
Wyatt,
is,
and then we'll have Gary and Smith.
What's
going
to happen is Rashawn will go back to what he was doing at Michigan. It's the exact same position he played at Michigan. Like that's what he'll be doing. Now, understand now, most of the time, I mean, how often are is the NFL team not gonna have three wide receivers out there? I mean, most of the time,
yeah,
they're gonna be literally lined up where they lined up last year, just with their hand in the dirt. And quite frankly, I don't know that if their responsibility, meaning if it's a formation where they get to be in a nine, that they won't give them their choice.
Yeah.
You can be up or down. It's if they're in a five or a seven. If they're in a five or a seven, they need to have the hand down because they can get washed pretty quickly standing up because you got to gather and get going standing up. The only purpose to me for standing up is a pass move guy, a pass rush move guy who has all the spins and all that stuff. Look, I watched Van Ness. Second half of the season, he either asked to put his hand down or somebody realized he needed his hand down.
Yeah.
Van Ness was damn near unblockable with his hand down.
And he barely played. Like if he got a
coming out of the blocks when he had his hand down and he made some plays. Now we don't know why the so little use. I mean, that's something that is in house. I don't know why.
The Packers like to do that. They like to do that, especially with new guys in that. They get them, you know, he probably only played maybe 30% of the snaps that he was available for, right? Like, and I think that Van Ness was a guy that could have played 60, 70, you know, double his workload.
If you look from the Chargers game to the end of the season,
I can promise you that Halfley did. And if he not, I don't know who I would, quite frankly, I'm talking about all of the edges. I don't know who I would put down as my first edge in this defense, in the 4-3, that I would say I would put before Van Ness.
Yeah.
Put his hand down. I mean, the dude, I'm telling you, watch from the Chargers game on with Van Ness in the game. He looks like an Olympic sprinter coming out of that 3-point stand. I mean, so, he's what you want.
And how do you block that guy as an offensive lineman? How do you block that guy that's launching himself 280 pounds, say, launching himself with all that strength out of the starting blocks?
You're trying to get anchored as quickly as possible, because if you don't, you're not.
Yeah, you got to get lower
than him. You're not going to block him if you're not anchored. You the only way, I mean, that dude is so powerful.
Yeah.
The only way, though, they were able to do anything with him were it was a guy who was able to anchor quickly. I don't know that Van Ness has a slew of pass rush moves. I will tell you that. Nice. The way he won was pretty much.
I'm coming at you.
Listen, he raced up. He power moved you. Or he went up and under, and that's how he won. So it was more so speed and power. Unless we get somebody to teach him some pass moves, he's going to beat guys because they just can't handle him. It'll have nothing to do. He's not fooling anybody.
Yeah. No, he was very blatant. I'm coming at you. I'm going to bull rush you, and I'm just going to throw you into the quarterback. And the funny part was is, he did it more times than not.
He did this is the deal, though. Unless you're talking about somebody like Bach or Trent, or I mean, there may be four or five tackles in the whole league. Unless you're talking about those guys, then what they have to count on, and I'm talking about the offense, when you have a person like Van Ness, what they have to count on is the quarterback getting the ball out. Because this is the deal. And that's why you actually have a rotation, though. And now, again, he will be in it more for me.
Yeah.
If I'm running this defense, Van Ness is on the field play one and however many plays we know that he can give us that up to about 80%. And you should know that. Like, that's why we have all of these analytics now, and we have them with those, you know, the little trackers on them and all that
stuff.
We should know. And I know damn well it had to be more than 35% of the plays for a 22-year-old behemoth.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But in terms of what he does well, there are only about five guys in the league that we will even be concerned about teaching him anything. Like, he doesn't need to. It'd be no different than how much do you bench press, Matt?
Actually, yesterday I benched 300 three times. Okay. It's been a few years since I've hit that mark.
And what would you say? So you did 300 three times. What would you say the max? Like, if you were gonna say, man, this is how much I can throw up. I know I can't.
Oh, maybe 320, maybe.
So
I
320.
Mean, I got those 300 up, and I only count it when you do it three times. Because the first time is like, I did it so I wouldn't die. The second time is like, okay, I kind of got it. The third time is like, I mastered this, right? When I played football, I was in much better shape. 375 was my max. Now I'm not playing football. I haven't been working out. So 300, when I started in January, it was 250. And it was a struggle. At 250, there was a lot of shaking.
Right. But look, I'm going to tell you, I realize now at this stage of life that the type of lifting and things we should be doing should be more maintenance than showing out, you know, in the gym. We're probably hurting ourselves. But
well, I'm just trying to
I'm going to share the numbers with you just for the sake of this example. So yeah. You're 320, right? You can, let's say you can bench 320. My max is 420. If you and I went to work out together, you can have all the hope, dreams, wishes, motivation, cheering squad. You can have everybody in there you want.
Doesn't matter.
And you and I could go over there, put 320 on there, and we both will do it.
Yeah.
Then we can, there will be a bench down the other side with 420. And we, you and I both walk over there. And are you going to be able to take that 420 off that bar and do anything with it?
I'm not even going to attempt it.
That's Van Ness. That's Van Ness and his power rush against at least 80% of NFL tackles. They just can't do anything with him. The timing is what they need. They need the ball out. They need it to be a draw. They need to be a quick run. They need it to be schematic. Because the mano a mano, they're not going to win. They're not winning now.
No, that's like Reggie White, right? Reggie White would line up, and those tackles would be standing there going, damn it, right? Like, I'm about to get beat. The least I could do is try and limit the damage.
Right. With the hump move, too.
Yeah.
So the key with this defense is, again, explain it in a way where we're talking to a mass audience. One gap, pressing, closing the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Making sure that they have to work the ball down the field. We're making them work. We're susceptible to the big play, but we also equip our defense with an eraser who is the best processor on the defense. Now, let me tell you what else is going to help the defense. Those front four penetrators are who we like literally. Now we and I joked with one of my classmates, because one of my classmates was Devontae's high school teacher in the Atlanta area. But I tell him, like, if we can get him to make a tackle when he gets back there, they can't block him. But he hadn't really learned how to finish yet. But if we look at it from the standpoint of what type of players do we have for this scheme, like, we literally have the penetrators. Brooks, we have the guys.
Woods.
Penetrate up the field. Now, what happens when guys penetrate up the field and you let your linebackers play downhill instead of backing up? Then, one, it keeps them clean, right?
Yeah.
So this gap right here, which we're going to find out, they're going to have to double team some of those guys. They can't. They're not going to be able to block Clark one-on-one. They're not going to be able to block Devontae one-on-one. Quite frankly, Brooks is the one who has the pass rush moves inside. He actually is the move guy. So if he's not the athlete that Devontae is, but he actually has, he is a pass rusher from the three technique. That's who Brooks is. So then we got Slayton, who is just going to be so big, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
So he'll take up the bodies. And so what's going to be exciting for our fans, for people who are looking at this particular scheme, is that the fact that it makes what's going to happen
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end. It hurts. to set you free, but you'll never follow me. The end of laughter and soft lies, the end of nights we try to die. This is